time to feel the rush of the round table. Brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Are you really an independent contractor? Find out in seconds for free at PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
The roundtable begins for this Tuesday, the 2nd of June. Very happy to welcome political reporter for the Globe and Mail, Marika Walsh. Hey, Marika.
Hi, guys. How are you?
I am well. And we got him to come back. It's a good sign. Co-founder and CEO of Red Light Holland, Todd Shapiro. How are you, buddy?
Jay, what even got me to come back? It's an honor and a pleasure to come back. And hi, Amanda. Nice to chat with you as well.
Nice to chat with you, too. So,
Hold on. Did a naked guy just walk behind you?
No, I think...
Is he going to have a shower?
No, Cole.
No, I didn't know what to do. I just thought we were getting ready to do it. We're all on Zoom. Not behind you, Todd. This is in Amanda's condo right now. She is so beat red.
Hilarious.
I'm pretty
that's
sure
hilarious.
I just saw her boyfriend naked. I'm pretty sure.
Say that on air.
What? Is that what I just... Was he?
I only saw it from the back. I just saw a flash. All is fine.
Okay, we're going to compose. You ready?
We're good.
Deep breath.
So we got news today as the provincial government was on the hot seat today around contact tracing. So effectively, we've all been being diligent, staying home, getting our tests. And then we find out how many tests were lost. 485 positive tests were not reported to public health agencies and therefore were not traced. So question to you, Marika. You were at Queen's. Actually, before I do this, I want to play an audio from Christine Elliott. This is how she explained what happened.
When people went to the assessment centers or to the hospital in this case to receive the test, they were also told that they could receive their results online, and they were told how to go online to obtain that information. So some of them may have been told if they tested positive, that they needed to self-isolate. They needed to make sure that they didn't be in touch with other people. And so we are following up now. We are doing the contact tracing and case management services to make sure that that has been done, and to follow up on any contacts to ensure that they are safe and healthy, or perhaps they need to be tested as well. But this is something that has been dealt with, that all units are aware of the process going forward, and this will not be happening again.
So Marika, you've been in Queen's Park, you've been at these press conferences, you're known for some tough questions. What do you think of that answer, and how would you have maybe pushed the minister a bit there?
I think that it just speaks to this much broader issue in Ontario of how much the system struggles to talk to each other, to coordinate, and to, because of that, act quickly and decisively. And I think that those issues really need to be pushed. I'm curious about how the healthcare centralization that they rolled out started last year, but it was a multi-year process, could have actually better position them if it had already been done to deal with this. But right now, it just seems like the one hand doesn't know what the other is doing. And it's pretty astonishing given how much Ontario struggles as one of the wealthiest provinces in Canada to do this properly.
Yeah. And what about you, Todd? I mean, we've all been, you know, listening, staying home, and now to hear that, you know, frankly, the province, you know, the authorities did not get the information, the system is breaking down. What does that feel like as a sort of a resident of, you know, trying to deal with this? Like, how do you feel about this?
Yeah, I mean, full disclosure, I said it last time, I'm not in Toronto right now. So while I do live right downtown Toronto normally, we haven't been there for quite some time, but it's just irresponsible. A government can't, I mean, it's called contact tracing. It's about tracing where this might have originated from and then where it spread. If you can't even trace the trace, you're doing something wrong. I also think entirely differently now. I hope when this eventually goes away, they can keep the contact tracing for STDs. I think that'll be really important as well.
Well, there we go.
Let's stick with tracing. Let's talk about that's one way to go. Let's get all the data on everybody.
No, but think about it. Like, we should be contact tracing for everything now. Like, if we're going to use this now for this disease, we should be using it for everything. How did anything start? Where did it come from? Who did it come? And then we can get mad at people and tell them, you gave this to me.
But contact tracing already existed. The system has already existed. It's not a new system. It's just being majorly ramped up, and it's being ramped up in a way in Ontario that has not been as successful as it has been in other places. But it is not a new idea in public health.
Well, let's go one step further, too. Go ahead, Todd.
No, I'm sorry, Jay. I was just going to say, it's not new, but it's advanced.
Let's continue down this vein as well, as Toronto calls for mandatory race socioeconomic data for that to be collected. Marika, are you on board with something like that too? Like, if we're going to get all this information, should we really get as much information as we possibly can? Is it time to not be necessarily politically correct and realize that we need to get as much information as we possibly can if we want to avoid hotspots, if we want to avoid a second wave?
Yeah, and I don't think that collecting race-based data is about not being politically correct. It's actually about doing better policy and spending government money better, because governments right now have a massive blind spot on how their policies and how things like COVID-19 affect different racial minorities and different racial groups. And that makes it harder to make good policy. And that's a huge problem in Canada. It's not just a problem with COVID-19. It crosses all areas of Canada's economy and society. And experts have been calling it out for years. They say, for example, it's easier for them as a Canadian academic to get data from the United States to work on it from home. Whereas in Canada, even if the data exists, which often it doesn't, you have to actually go to Statistics Canada to get it. So we have a huge problem with this. And the government is making slow steps federally in Ottawa. For example, they've mandated the collection of race-based data in the census, but that only happens every 5 years. There's so much other work and data collection that happens between those things that does not include the critical information that's needed.
I think I know where you land on this one, Todd, but I mean, is more information, I mean, you kind of just said that, but essentially, are you cool with absolutely all information that we could possibly collect being collected?
Well, Jay, truth be told, it is a slippery slope, though. So, you know, for the conspiracy theorists out there, they're, okay, is this just a way for them to control me and control all my data and then have an idea where I am for the rest of my life? So while I do agree with exactly what, you know, everyone is saying, that it's not necessarily about being politically correct here. It's about protecting the actual communities that maybe it's spreading faster and more rapidly. So let's get a hold of that. But I could also understand, and, you know, sorry to be right here in the middle with this one. I think the roundtable, you want some concrete decisions here. I just think it's a slippery slope and a precedent that being set, that why can't we then go and collect, you know, specific data that is something that we all want to protect? You know, that's something true to us, and that, well, we don't want to give that out for free.
But we need to be very clear that this data is anonymized. This is not data that is about tracking individual people. This is data that tells governments how their policies affect different groups.
For now,
it is not the same, but it's not a slippery slope. That's something totally different. That's obviously huge concerns, but collecting good information to then make better government policy isn't a slippery slope to privacy issues. That's a different issue.
Listen, I hope it is, but you can't underestimate what government can do with precedents.
I want to get your perspective on a story we saw today, in that we saw some cities, some stores in Toronto boarding up, right? We saw downtown Saks, a few other places in the city, even though we have not had rioting to date in town, which I think is a good thing. Here's what the mayor had to say about that.
This city has done itself proud in the way in which it has handled some very heartfelt protests that result from a great degree of anger and frustration about some of the issues to do with racism here and elsewhere. And I think that the Toronto way is to continue to do it that way.
So that was the mayor saying the Toronto way is to not, we will not see this rioting. This is unnecessary. Do you guys think Toronto will be okay? Marika, what are your thoughts?
I think it's really hard to know where this goes. I'm not sure that I have enough information to really know what the impact of the boarding up is. I think that so far in Canada, part of the reason why I think we haven't seen what we've seen in the U.S. is because we often just pretend that we're better than the U.S. on this front. And while we're different from the U.S. on this front, I am not convinced that we are doing better on anti-Black racism and discrimination against people of color. And so I think that it will be very interesting to see how this does develop in Canada. Certainly, we are not at this heated moment in Canada that we see in the U.S., but I don't think we should rule out that we would ever get there.
Todd, do you think, you know, we've just started to reopen and all of a sudden, you know, things are going up on windows to protect them. Do you think this was necessary today, or do you think this is just a bit of overreaction?
Unfortunately, notwithstanding what's going on in the United States, we've seen some incidents in Toronto specifically, and in Canada, quite frankly, whether it's a Stanley Cup parade from Vancouver where cars are being flipped over to the G20 summit, GA220, whatever you want to call them, summits in 2010, I believe, where people are going nuts. We saw people being shot at the Raptors parade. So I can understand the trepidation. I can understand the fear, but I also can understand when Mayor Tory basically says, listen, this is not the Toronto way. We'd like to think it's not the Toronto way. Sadly, concretely, I can't say it won't be.
Okay, I want to make sure
also,
that we fit
this in. Also, we're already seeing the boarding up. We're already seeing the boarding up of businesses from COVID, right? That was already happening before this.
So wait, Aritzia is not thinking about being looted. They just were closed down. Okay, listen, I want to make sure that we get this in before the news begins. This is your viral moment, courtesy of the Prime Minister.
I'd like to ask you what you think about that. And if you don't want to comment, what message do you think you're sending?
Sorry for the kids' screams.
We all watch in horror and consternation what's going on in the United States.
Todd.
That's a wicked earpiece. I mean, I was thinking his retention levels are unbelievable because I think he was fed that answer, spoke it very clearly after. Or, was he collecting his thoughts, not offending anyone, being careful not even to say Trump's name, but yet, you know, speak about how it, obviously, you know, things aren't right now. I think it's a little embarrassing. I mean, I get a dramatic pause. I'm a big Christopher Walken fan. You're not. You understand the pause. But for me, you gotta be a little bit more direct here. You got to be prepared for something like that better. And I think it's embarrassing, quite frankly.
So rehearsed or wool gathering, Marika?
I was at that press conference. I think it might have been a mix of both, because it was a very pointed question, and the fact that he didn't respond to it directly was clear. But I also think that it would serve us and the media well to focus much more on what the Prime Minister is saying about anti-Black racism in Canada than what President Trump is doing about it. Obviously, it should be addressed, but I think that there is a gap in Canadian media on covering these issues at home, and it's easier to cover it south of the border.
Marika Walsh, Todd Shapiro, thank you both for your time. Appreciate it. Have a great night.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.